Welcome back to the season finale of Catch Some Z's podcast, everyone. I am Z. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. It is incredibly special, very special. It is a landmark episode for a few reasons. One, because it is the first interview slash collaboration that I've done using the Anchor app software. My special guest and I were able to conduct this whole entire conversation, you know, remotely. So we love technology for that. The disclaimer that comes with it is that this was the first time that we successfully did it. And so you will hear in the interview, there's a little bit of like delay sometimes with things that I say or things that my guest says. Just, you know, use your intuition, put the pieces together. It's not too bad. At worst, it sounds a little bit awkward, but you still get the message. You still get the point. Anyway, this is the final episode of this season. I'll talk more about it at the end of the episode, but this is a really great episode. We're very excited to have done it. And I'm just really excited for it to come out. So I'm going to let this ad roll, and then we're gonna get right into it. So I really hope you enjoy. So folks, we are here with the Miss Kayra J on the podcast. Kayra, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. I'm excited to have you virtually. We are social distancing.
We are social distancing, yes.
The episode, again, I was just telling Kayra folks that we are continuing to explore, I guess, our Caribbean heritage, our roots, and kind of where that intersects with our professional goals, our dreams, you know, where we've come from, where we see ourselves going. So, Kayra, if you don't mind, I'd like you just to introduce yourself to the audience. I know plenty of people, if they've been following, know that I like basically shout you out at least once a week for something you're doing, but anyone who may be new, just let them know who you are.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. All this, every time I listen and I hear my name, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's me. And I'm like stunned. I have a video of me like reacting to your podcast, and I was like, I am just floored. Like, I love you so much. So my name is Kayra J. I live in New York. I'm 23. I'm a creative producer. I am one out of three creators of Adultin series. It is platformed on YouTube. It's a digital web series that is an anthology that highlights the different aspects of Adultin. It's scripted. It's unscripted. It is for the people, for us, by us. Mm-hmm. And I also work in development at MTV and VH1. So we make new shows. And I guess it's more than just those two networks now. It's Viacom, CBS, and I work, you know, across multiple brands. So, you know, I'm just an ideating, content creating person.
I love that.
And I'm a Libra.
Hey, Libra gang. I said that like I'm a Libra. I'm not. I'm a Scorpio. But I support you guys and what you've got going on.
October, though.
Yeah, I'm actually on the cusp. Like, literally, my day is, like, depending on the year, the first or the second day of Scorpio season. So.
Okay, right, we'll take you in. Well, you know, we're nice people. Libras are nice.
So I've heard. So I'm not mad at it.
Yes.
So, Kayra, you are from the U.S. Virgin Islands originally.
Born and raised.
Which one?
St. Croix.
St. Croix. All right. So yes. I don't know if
you have any. So for those who don't know, there are four U.S. Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. St. Croix, St. Thomas, St. John, and Water Island, which I never knew was a real thing, to be quite honest.
just learned about it just now in this moment.
Yeah, you know, they I feel like I grew up just like not ever hearing about it, learning about it or anything. It was like a myth. I was like, oh, it's real. But yeah, but that's the US Virgin Islands. And then there's also the British Virgin Islands, which has like Tortola, and a slew of other islands over there.
Got it. All right. Well, I ask you that, and I bring that up because one of the things that I've been doing on my grown up journey is trying to get in touch with the aspects of my cultures that I kind of felt I slash I feel like I've neglected, as well as some of the cultural aspects just were not passed down to me, or I wasn't exposed to, whatever the case. So my father is Haitian, for those who are new or don't know, or if I haven't talked about it, and my mom's dad is Puerto Rican. And I grew up basically not knowing about either of those identities until like I was at least 7 years old. So neither one of those languages were spoken in my house growing up, or at extended family things. And I'm kind of really getting in touch with both of them now on my own, through my own will, and my own research, and not because, my family did it, at the big age of 23 myself.
Not the big
So
age.
yeah, I just kind of feel like there's been ample opportunity, but I'm not going to get into it now. Part of this discussion is around kind of how I see a lot of times, either on the Twitter timeline or just in my group chats with my cousins, or just different media and just real life situations, how a lot of people, specifically from Caribbean islands or just people from the African diaspora in general, how they're kind of navigating their professional lives. Sometimes that can be, what they decide to major in college, or what they pursue as a professional career. And I picked Kayra especially because, she is a creative. You heard her tell you guys about, what she's got going on. So I guess my question for you, Kayra, is, when you decided slash learned, when life brought you to the creative space, did you experience any pushback from your family, in the spirit of them being Caribbean and wanting success for their offspring that usually comes to them in the form of doctors or lawyers?
No, I guess I'm pretty different, or I don't know. I think there are lots of, I think that is absolutely a narrative that is there and that happens, but my parents weren't like that. My dad, he didn't really have much of an opinion, to be honest. I don't even think he really knows what I do. Every
Cool.
time I go down, I'm like, so yeah, these are the videos I make, so I don't think he really even knows, really, as long as, I'm supporting myself, it's fine. My mom is who actually got me into this, to be honest. When I was in high school, I was like an honors kid and stuff, and I was taking AP psych, and I was like, yeah, I'm in psychology, I'm just gonna become like study that and be, I had no idea like what I wanted to do, and I never considered myself creative because I assumed creativity were like was like people who can draw, and I cannot draw.
Same.
So yeah, like I'm like, oh yeah, people who like draw and sketch and know how to paint, very like realistic things. Like I paint now, but my paintings are abstract, and I learned that that's okay. But back then, I was like, I can't paint. I don't take pictures, like anything like that. I just wasn't doing that stuff. So I didn't think I was creative, and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna study psychology, probably have a firm and be a psychologist. And my mom was like, what are you talking about? She was like, what's psychology? Like, you don't like to listen. You think you could be a psychologist? I was floored. I was like, what are you saying? I listen. She was like, you listen? And we had this whole back and forth. I was just getting defensive because she was, opposing me, and I was a teenager. So I'm just like fighting her, and she's so correct. And she's like, why don't you study like journalism or something? Like, you know how to write, you're a good writer. And I was like, oh, I didn't know I could study something like that. Like, I didn't, it wasn't even something in my head. Like, I never thought about how TV was made. I had never like made a video, like shot something. It just wasn't in my space, which is something to say, something that I personally want to change in the Caribbean as far as the exposure to the arts and what is considered an art and our ability to work in it and, foster that relationship with art, because I just didn't have that growing up. It wasn't in my face. And so I just didn't know that I could do it. And that night I went on and I went on the Common App and I changed all the applications to either broadcast journalism or mass communications, whatever the school had that like correlated to something like that. I just picked that after I did a little research. I was like, oh, you know, talking, writing, verbal, nonverbal communication. That sounds like me. Cool. Let's do it. And that's what I did. And I didn't really figure out like the actual thing I was doing until like I started taking certain classes in college.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story. Okay.
Quite a journey.
Yeah, that's because I was watching something and basically, you know, it's usually, you know, again, mom or dad, and they're like, oh, you know, you don't want to be a doctor? That's fine. Lawyer is fine if you want to switch it up.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear your mom calling you out and being like, no, psychology's not it, actually.
Yeah, I don't think they had career expectations, like what it would be. It was just like, whatever you do, like, you need to be good at it. Like, you need to, like, you're not going to be unsuccessful. So pick something where you'll be successful and we don't have to give you money.
That's solid,
right? Like, I feel like that was where it was, because we didn't even have like a discussion about this type of stuff, you know? Like, it was like,
yeah,
I just started applying and I was like, yeah, I applied here, I applied there, I'm doing this. I made like all these decisions myself, and then I would just be updating them, and my mom had to like pump me in my brakes and be like, no, you're not gonna be a psychologist.
Oh, moms be knowing.
They do. That is the tea.
That's really what it comes down to. Okay, so I ask you that also because I guess for me, I've also been pretty consistent, I guess, with my career goals, but consistent also in the fact that I could never really tell anybody explicitly what I wanted to do because I didn't know. I knew that I was attracted to like entertainment, but more so from the business side.
Right.
But I knew I didn't want to be just like a regular old business major. And I didn't have any specific niche in business that was, you know, calling out to me. And so I originally started college as a music business major.
I remember.
Eventually switched just because, right, you know, TPT. And then eventually switched to general business just because I just didn't want to graduate with a music business degree because I just, there was like one thing in the music business that I wanted to do maybe. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't really trying to navigate the whole entire thing. And so switched to business because I thought maybe it would give me an answer. And it didn't. but it gave me just a degree that I was like, all right, like if this is the only thing I do, I guess it'll be fine. But the whole time, I guess, you know, growing up, my dad, he paints and he plays the piano and he does karate. And like, as long as I've been around, that's what he's mostly done. Like he would do like security jobs as far as like I guess bringing home a consistent
right.
check, but he spent his time like focused on his
like
passions.
He was a creative.
He was, and that's just what he did. And so my mom was primarily like in the medical field or sometimes in social services, but I enjoyed the helping people aspect of those things, but I knew I didn't want to be in those type of like structures. And I guess so I had pretty good support from them because they've heard me talk about entertainment and business and things like that. And when I made the switch to just business as a whole, they were supportive. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Nothing too crazy, but they've also known that from the beginning, I've always said I'm going to be rich. So I think they just trust me to figure that out on my own and make
right.
it happen. So I guess I'm grateful in that regard.
Well, I love that your dad, like having that you had that exposure to his creativity, like it kind of like lets you
yeah.
know that there are multiple avenues, like multiple things that you can do,
right?
Which I think is super
Again.
helpful, because I don't think that most, you know, most people just have parents who are hustling, you know, they're bringing home
exactly
the consistent check part, and you, it's so easy to lose sight of like maintaining the passion and the creativity part,
right? And it's a beautiful thing. And again, I tease him a lot because I'm like, you know, you didn't teach me the language of your motherland. You didn't teach me how to play piano or paint. The only thing we did was karate, and that's where we stopped. I feel like, you know, more could have been done, but I'm not mad at him anymore. But I did let him know about it. So moving forward, you mentioned Adults in Series earlier, which I mention all the time. And one of the episodes that stood out to me from your first season was the episode titled The Pot Called the Kettle. And in it, you had our main character, having a phone conversation with her father back on his islands. I don't remember which island they were from, but he was calling to ask baby girl for some money after she had been able to kind of establish herself financially with her artwork. She was an art major, and now she was like a freelance artist, and she was able to take care of herself. And the conversation got heated because, well, in her head, it got heated because, dad was calling her for money when she wouldn't get any support while she was in school studying art because nobody thought that it would, yield any profit for her. And now she's experiencing some success, and she kind of feels like she's experiencing some hypocriticism from dad and whoever else back home. So do you see, I mean, again, not in your situation, I guess, but do you see that again as kind of like a large or a popular narrative within like these
First
cultures?
of all, I just want to say you said that better. You set the episode up better than I ever could. And I wrote the episode. I was like, yes, art major. Go ahead and make me want to watch it myself. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. My heart is so full. I'm over here just like smiling from ear to ear. Like, oh my God, my chest.
So
Ugh,
glad.
I'm so glad. Wow. Thank you.
And that was just from memory. Usually I write it down, but I'm just, I'm doing it. Wow.
Thickens.
That
This hit me in my feels. This good old Monday. Oh yes. I just thanks. Thank you so much.
thank you.
I definitely think that this is a narrative that is everywhere. Like, even if you are from the Caribbean or not, like I think that specifically in communities of color, like there is, like we said, our parents do rely on us to make money, like to get out the house and be successful and be more successful than they were, not that we have unsuccessful parents, but to like be another step up, like get further than we ever could with our lack of resources. The reason they worked so hard was that we would have enough resources to be able to choose and be able to like have the freedoms that we really like we have now. And I think that it does happen that you're in a situation where there's many a situation where the child, the I guess we can say first gen, because the first generation, I don't consider myself like first gen, second gen, whatever, but the person of this time is really expected to give back. And it's such a catch 22, man. It's like I don't even have enough to like really do what I'm trying to do, and but I also will never say no to my parents. Like, they're my parents. Like, they helped and they like made me and gave me this life and this world and da 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 da. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not ready to give back yet. I think that was one of the things that I wanted to convey with Zoe in the episode is that I'm in between gigs. Like, she just went to a party. Yeah, like it's not like she doesn't have money. She's gonna eat. She got money to smoke. He was saying that she traveled. Like, yeah, maybe I just went on some trip, but like that's because growing up, like I couldn't have those things. Like, this is my time to do this. And it's like, how long do I like, when can you figure it out? Because I'm trying to figure it out. And it's like, you can't say that to your parent. Like, what the hell? Like, you can't do that. Like, that's fucked up. There's still other things going on in life and whatever and so forth. And it's just tough. Like, it's just that I don't even there's no solution really. A lot of the feedback I get on these episodes is that there should be feedback or like someone telling like viewers what to do at the end of it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, the show is being made by 23 and 24 year olds. Like, it's not, I'm not an expert. Like, I'm just writing about things that I see and things that I know. And it's like, I don't have the answers. And I don't think any of us really do as far as like what to do in that situation. It's just a matter of setting boundaries overall and like making sure that you are, like you said, I love what you said about telling your dad about himself, in regards to the things that you wanted to know that he didn't teach you. I think that I'm the type of person I hold on to stuff or I just don't feel like able or that there's ever really a good time to discuss certain things or like I don't think it's a big enough deal. I'm like, oh, it's a big deal to me, but it's not a big deal to them, so I'm just not gonna say anything. And I think a lot of people feel that way and they don't communicate. And that lack of communication is what builds that resentment or like that, you know, just that feeling. Like, overall, the only thing you can really do is protect your mental space and do things that work to your benefit. Like, if it is setting that boundary with your parents, then do that, you know? But if it is causing you stress, and if it's causing you, like harm and things, it's time to rethink, like, how can I make this, you know, work for my parents and I? Because it's a relationship at the end of the day. And it's one that takes work and, like, communication and all these different things that when you become an adult, no one tells you you have the agency to do. It's like, for so long, you're just, like, doing what you're told and, like, doing what you think they want. And then now it's like, oh, like, we're actually both adults. We both have to talk. Like, we both have to share, like, the things that are bothering us. And I think that might just be the solution to this whole thing.
That's a word right there. Wow. And okay, so I like that people are asking what to do, because you also brought up, like, I guess, you know, what is the responsibility? What is the obligation? And so I take stories from my mom, for example. She said when she moved out of her, you know, childhood home, she left the house after she graduated high school and moved in, I think, maybe with a brother or a cousin or something like that. And just off of principle, she said she would pay my grandfather like 1/3 of her weekly check just to, like, send him something to have. And it wasn't like he wasn't working, like, he was still actively working. He was involved in the community. And so she was like, oh, it was just the principle of it, you know, because he took care of us growing up. And now that I'm able to, I'm going to send him something. And I'm like, okay, like, I get it in theory, but then also, like, why? And I was even talking with her this weekend because I'm, you know, in the midst of an apartment search. And, you know, she's like, oh, when you get your apartment, can I come visit? And I answered her and I was like, oh, you probably wouldn't want to, just kind of jokingly. But in my head, I was taking it kind of as like, damn, man, I didn't even get the place yet. Can I enjoy having like an apartment to myself first before I got to start worrying about guests, specifically my mom? But she took it as, you know, you don't want to be with me. You don't want to spend time with me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, like, that's not even it. But like, what? And so I know I have this conversation a lot with people who are like, you know, getting ready to leave the nest or whatever the case is. And it's like, you know, our parents, for the most part, are still able to work or whatever the case is, but they're also, you know, some of them aren't in the best financial situation. So yeah, of course I'm going to help you out, but you know, what are the boundaries? Like, should they expect it from me the way my mom's dad expected it from her? Or is it more so of a, if you need it, give me a call, but try not to need it too much. Like, what is it?
You know, I don't know, because I think that it's really like some family dynamics are so, like, everyone is so different, you know, like there are some people don't even have this problem type shit. Like, it's just like their family is like supporting them and, like, you know, they don't seek anything. Like, some of us are listening to this and be like, wow, this is a situation for real. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I don't know, because I don't particularly see it as go away and send it back just because. I mean, I think that if you got it, you got it. And to me, having it is like, I don't have to check my bank account before I make large purchases. Right. Exactly. Or, you know, I'm not moving money from checking to savings every month to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or saving the checking rather. Like, those are like things that I feel like, you're strapped, like, you know, like I there's so much more that you need to build up for yourself. But I do think that when I get to a place that it's just like money from all corners of life just deposited every day, just different, a new email, like a new deposit, like, yeah, I would send money back too. But I feel like during this building phase, it's just like I haven't even gotten anywhere yet. Like what you said, like I haven't even like put some art up on the wall in this apartment. Like I need a second to fill my own space. And that's a part of it too, you know, defining that corner of your life and who you are and what that core essence of you is, independent of your family, independent of your parents and things like that. Because I think going to college is like the first step, but you are also influenced by the people around you more so than when you graduate from college. I don't know what it is. Like, I think for me, at least, it was like I felt like I got out of a, you know, in Finding Nemo, when the sea turtles are in like that rush, the current, the wave. I feel like that's yes. college. And then when you graduate, it's like you're poof, you're back into the ocean and you're just kind of like, okay, like there's nothing, wow. there's nothing moving what me right now. Where do I go?
Wow. I hope anyone who's listening to this, one, appreciates this, that analogy and really understood it, because that's perfect. And this is why you're the one who does what you do, because no, that was like the perfect metaphor. Cause yeah, I forgot what it was called, but yeah. And like, you're in there and you
yeah, get a whole bunch of the turtles. It's a rush, and it's like, you know, you stick together, you're with the fam, you know, you're all on yeah. this wave together, and then like, you know, it's over and you have to figure out, well, like, am I swimming to the butt, am I going to pee Sydney Wallaby way, like, where the fuck am I going, like, what's going on? Like, you know, it's like I don't know. And I think that some people do hold on to their parents for dear life to make decisions that shouldn't, I personally feel, be made with your parent. Like, I think that there are things that you have to do alone, and just without anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there, this moment of, or for me, the transition between college and real world was very much a transformative time for me. And it was like, I did mm-hmm. it by myself. Like, a lot of things happened on my own, with help, of course, as far as like people giving me a place to sleep or like helping me move things out my right. apartment or whatever. But me coordinating the movements, me thinking about where I'm going, what I'm doing, getting the job, like, that was all me. It wasn't me, like,
right.
getting directive from anyone saying, you should do this, you should do that. It was like, I did all these things, and then I update people, and I'm like, all right, I just did all these right. things, I'm in Brooklyn now, like, you know, and it's like, what? And I think that that helped really shape a lot of my voice and, like, who I am. And I think that part is so important, because now you can do things like this. You can have a podcast where you're talking about exploring your roots. Like, you have settled into yourself enough to know that there's a side of you that you want to know, as opposed to you continuing yes. on, you know, maybe like only listening to your parents and like completely ignoring that side of you that was how you grew up, you know?
Right. You're absolutely right. And I admire you too. Again, viewers, if you don't, or listeners, if you don't know, Kayra did like a solo trip to Mexico last year that I lived through via her blog posts and her Instagram, because I love that. And you did that right before you like had like a major job change or a major move, and it was right around yes. your birthday. Like, that's tough.
You know? It was my it's only tough. Reward to myself. I was like, I need to celebrate my birthday.
That's how you do it, man. Oh, geez. Like, I love that. But again, it's, you know, if you listen to your parents and stuff, it would have been, you know, no. Tell them. No, women can't travel.
I bought the ticket maybe a week out before I left. And then I told my mom, and I was like, I'm going. I was like, I bought a ticket to Mexico, and this is where I'm staying. Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I didn't ask. I just, like, did it. And she was like, mm-hmm. who are you going with? And I was like, you know, myself. And she was like, but she didn't freak out. She was just like, well, make sure you text me, da da da. Because I feel like my mom at the start of like my college journey was like very anti like everything I did in regards to like just anything. Like, I'd go get a tattoo, a piercing, whatever. I dyed my hair. My hair was like 8 million colors. And she was like, you're never gonna get a job. And it's like, girl, so, like, can you just simmer down? But college was my first like interaction with freedom. That was me wilding. I was like, oh, I'm gonna ask for nothing, I'm about to go hard. And I just started doing like stuff like that, like things with little to no consequence. But, you know, things like going to Mexico, I was like, oh, like, now I have money, like, now I can do more things. And that part, yes. that freedom was great. And then my dad, I didn't tell him till like maybe two nights before. I was like, yeah, I'm going to Mexico in 2 days. And he was like, what? He was like, no. He's like, well, I'm going.
Sorry, I'll let you know when
right.
I get back.
I was like, I'll send you pictures, you know, I'll keep my location on. You can, I don't know. But I was like, I just was like, I'm not asking permission. I'm just giving you an update.
Yeah, but sometimes that's how it has to be. And when I went to Haiti last summer, it was for my cousin's wedding, and I flew down by myself. But again, I was going to meet, you know, my family down there. But my mom was stressed because when I was 2 years old, she took me down there for a whole other reason. And she, my dad, in typical Caribbean fashion, told her he would be there at a certain time, but she ended up waiting an hour for him. She doesn't speak the language. She's light skinned. So obviously people were trying to talk to her, and she was just like, you know, no, I'm not speaking to anyone. I'm waiting for my man. So she has that, you know, memory of traveling to Haiti. And so when I was like, yeah, I'm just going to buy my ticket and meet everyone down there, she's like, be careful. Like, she was flipping out. But I was chilling. And I keep telling her that I'm going to, like, you know, one day just hop on a plane, maybe one-way ticket, I don't know yet, to Europe, specifically south of Spain. And she's like, what's the plan? You can't do it.
We I'm didn't like, even yeah, try. Listen. Like, entertain the idea for a second. That'd be me. I'm like, can we spitball for a second? Can we play with this? Just this invisible thing? Like, why is it shut down so quick?
So quickly. One day I'm gonna just call her from the
airport. I'm on my way. I'm ready for it. That is the podcast I want to hear. But like, so I'm in Spain. For the whole text podcast, you, yeah, and no, your mom I'm talking ready. While you're at the airport, like, I would die. I'd be like, this is content.
I would die too. That's the problem. She'd be like, what's the, I told her, because we, when I went last year, I was like, yeah, no, I know someone over there. She's like, who? I was like, my tour guide. And she's like, that's not a person. Like, you don't know. And like, it was just a mess. And I was like, I'm really confident though, that I'd be able to make it happen within the first month for myself, even if I, like, you know, went over there with just the clothes on my back. But again, I am a little bit of a planner, so I get why she was like stressed and stuff, but still, like
calculated risk, calculated risk.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. Okay, so I'm going to shift the conversation just a little bit now. Funny enough, we are filming this on
Haitian Flag Day. I was like, did she plan this?
No, I didn't, but here we are. This is usually these episodes end up happening. We're just there's like some hidden significance that I don't even account for until it's happening, and I think it's that, yes, that's what it is. And so here we are. So now, focusing, I guess, more on the cultural aspect of things. How do you want to see, Kayra, the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix, how do you want to see your homeland flourish? And I guess, what steps are you taking to make it happen? I remember, I believe, yeah, you were there. You participated / coordinated, I think, a drive after the hurricanes or the earthquakes hit the area, what, in 2019? 17, yes. Yeah, at our school, you and a bunch of other people, but I remember, obviously, you know, you're close to me, so. And that's just, you know, one way, but, you know, how do you want to see your homeland flourish? And, you know, is it through drives, or is it through your profession? Is it through your creativity? Like, you know, what ways do you want to see the place flourish, and what are you doing? What's your part?
Wow, what's your goal? Such a, like, heavy question.
I'm sorry, not to be loaded,
it's heavy for two reasons. It's heavy because it's heavy, but it's heavy because this has been heavy on my heart and my mind lately. Mm-hmm. As you know, we are in a pandemic, and we're in a pandemic. My job has transferred everything online, like most jobs, so I work from home, and my lease is ending, and it's like I can do all of these things from home, like home, like the Virgin Islands home. So
yes,
it is a concept that I've been playing with in my head for about the last, more like heavily the last like week or so, or like the last 2 weeks, I guess. But what am I doing? I don't know. There are so many hopes and dreams. Like, I have visions of making a documentary there. I've been like planning out this documentary forever. Like, there are like pages on my computer from 2015, 2016, when I like first got my MacBook about this documentary, like just like ideas. And then even more recently, there are like pages in my journal about this documentary. And then even more recently than that, I like went home in February. My grandfather unfortunately had passed away, and I went down there for his funeral. And I was like, you know, I'm bringing my camera. But when I went for Christmas, I was trying to like interview my grandpa because he was really sick. So I got some interviews of him, and just like, I had never, I mean, I grew up on this island, but I had never talked to my own family or like discuss like our history, like their lives, like what they, you know, you just kind of take it for granted. Like people are just your grandpa or your aunt, and you don't even realize that that's a whole human being. Like this life that we are living and cultivating, they have one too, and like every moment is beautiful and unique, and I just took it for granted. You know, I never really like inquired or asked questions. I was so ready to get away from this place when I was a kid. I was like, I have to leave. I felt very limited. I just felt like there was more for me, and I was super driven. I was like, I'm going to college and I'm gonna get this degree and I'm gonna be whoever, you know, a psychologist, but then a producer. And you know, it's like now I'm in this I think the hurricane was not the first thing. I got homesick throughout college, as I realized more and more that the United States is not what it's chalked up to be. The people were just not who I expected. There's just like so many things that it's like the expectation and the reality were different. And then I just love being home. Like every time I went home, the more freedom I got as I got older, like going home, I was like, wow, like I love this place. I love this setup, but I can't do what I want here. Like I can't have the career. And then I ended up coming to New York, and this pandemic happens. And it's like, well, yeah, you kind of can have the career that you want anywhere, for, you know, wherever, go wherever you want. And I mean, for the time being, you know, I don't know what's next, but for right now, that's what, for the foreseeable future, at least, like, it's like we can work from home. Like that's what's going on. And home, it looks different to me now. Like it looks a lot more vulnerable instead of like a trap. Like it felt so suffocating when I was there the first time, and like when I was growing up. And as I like left, and every time I come back with a new pair of eyes, it changes shape and changes form. And it's like, wow, I feel really interested in exploring all that. And so when the hurricanes happened in 2017, I think that was what showed me its vulnerability completely. Like it's like, oh my god, like the things that I was taking for granted, you know, bakeries, grocery stores, houses, people, just all sorts of things, like things that you just think are going to be there forever because it's home, weren't there anymore, and things aren't the same anymore. And especially as it relates to the types of people on the island, because after this hurricane, there's been a rush of non-locals coming down there and owning property, owning businesses, working at this new refinery that we have, and really taking advantage of the resources and seeing the beauty of it. Meanwhile, all of the other local kids like myself, we're in the States. Like we're up here trying to like go find a dream, you know, trying to go be somebody. And it's like, well, shit, other people are making whole lives. And I mean like whole lives. Like whenever I go home, I meet someone new. I met this one guy. He was like, yeah, I came down here, opened an insurance company. And he just basically profits on the fact that people are filing claims on their damaged houses from the hurricanes. He didn't have to experience the hurricane. No, he just saw that this happened, moved his ass from Tennessee or wherever the fuck, came to St. Croix, and is probably like lives, he's like on the beach. He's like smoking weed. He's having a time of his life. And it's like, when I was in high school, it was like, I can't have both. I can't be who I want to be and have this island life and embrace the culture, embrace, and, you know, actually like take care of the land and the things that we consider valuable, you know. And it just sucks like watching other people come in and take advantage of it and not even appreciate it really. And so what am I going to do about that? I don't know, girl. I don't know. Obviously, like I want to serve as an inspiration to anybody down there that like you can have things that may not be visible to you, that like it may not be right in front of you, or no one around you is really doing it, but like you can do it. And with social media, technology, everything, like people are seeing like what they're capable of. And I've been seeing so much more than anything, like just like a creative surge of artists from the Virgin Islands. And it's insane. Like in all these different mediums, like it's nuts. It's like the amount of talent in the Virgin Islands is crazy. And it's like, imagine if all of it was just like concentrated in one place, making businesses and like stimulating an economy, and like the people you actually went to school with are like here, you know. I don't know, because I think that you definitely do need to get away and like see things differently and branch out and expand your network and all that good stuff. But like, imagine making a life at home. And that's what I want. I want people who can make a life at home. Yeah.
That's perfect. Like the perfect way to put it all together. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. But I also understand your frustration too, like seeing like essentially foreigners come and reap and profit, you know, off of the locals. Correct. And their but misfortune. But I can't be mad, like,
at it. That's me in New York. And, like somebody who was born and bred Brooklyn is looking at me like this, you know, millennial hipster, whoever, whatever. You know, I don't got ties to Brooklyn. I'm just here. And I claim it, and I'm like, you know, and it's like, I get it. Like, you know, it's a game. It's the game. You can't be mad at people for coming up in there and seeing something and using it, like doing it to their benefit, because that's what I'm doing. That's what any of us are doing. So it's less of that, like, but more of that. I just prefer that there were more locals owning things and running things. Like, if you're foreign and you find a spot, good for you. The way it was hard as hell for me to come to New York, it should be hard as hell for someone else to like come into a new place and just make it their own type shit.
I like that. I do. Cause like I'm all, you know, I always support people hustling, mm-hmm. right? Like, do your thing. I'm at least for me, I'm trying to make sure that to the best of my ability, like it's very hard not to, but to the best of my ability, I don't want me hustling to come at the expense of somebody else's success. Like, I'm just a firm believer of, you know, we can all win right. as long as we do what we gotta do. And I think that what I see a lot of the time too is just, especially with the islands and things like that, there are the people who come in with, you know, unfair advantages and make it happen. Like, it's one thing for you to come in and hustle, but it's another thing for you to come and like take someone's property and you know, do that whole thing. And that's the issue that I have, because I see that more often. Not that, I mean, I imagine because people consider these places to be vulnerable regardless of right. if there's a natural disaster or not. I feel like I'm just kind of like, you know, that's what my eye's drawn to. I have a professor who like I really love, who told me he's retiring and he's going to go down to Puerto Rico in his boat. I was like, all right, lit, like turn up. But at the same time, I was like, but I wonder, you know, how is he faring in his boat that he's taking from the U.S. while, you know, half the island is still without electricity Correct. From 3 years ago? You know, so that's like, that's where I come from. But hustle hard, hustle forward, is never backwards. I'm with that,
it's
too.
It's just, like, intriguing. Like, it's just, okay. like, you can't be mad at people. Like, it's like, wow, I congrats. Like, good for you. If I go to... I don't know, like if I wanted to go on vacation somewhere, like I went to Mexico, like I didn't go there and like save anyone, like, you know, like I understand the right. the crises and the political inequalities and everything, the whole thing, I get it. I watched the news, but I still, you know, I was like, I'm just gonna turn up real quick, I'm gonna go into y'all. Yeah, it you was vacation. So it's like, I can't fault anybody for taking a vacation, absolutely not. It works for the country's behalf anyway. Like, tourism money is money. But I just it's so irking. Like, it's just like, ugh. Like, you can just come here and just like, you can have a boat, like you could just move, like you just come here and have a boat, that's crazy. Like, buy a house, oh my right. god. I know people who lived in the projects their whole life. Like, I want them to see the beauty right. of this island too. Like, I want them to live in the hills and see the water and, you know, have land and whatnot, like, or just like more people yeah. than not, like more local than not local, to be, because it just feels like everywhere I turn, the only people who ever got to really enjoy the beauty and the peace and the serenity of the island were people with lots of money, and those people were typically not local.
And that's pretty, I would say, yeah, consistent across the board too, which, and I get, and so like that's my, I guess, my challenge, because I have those desires for, like, you know, my hometown here in the States, but as I'm learning more about both aspects of my culture, I'm like, oh my God, like I got to do something on that end too, without also, you know, you have the advantage, I guess, in this context of, you know, being from the island, where it's like I still to this day have never been to Puerto Rico. And okay, sure, it's, you know, part of the US, quote unquote, I use that loosely, but you know, that's a whole different experience than anything that I'm used to. So even if I'm feeling one day, you know, super generous, and maybe, you know, I finally achieve the money goals I have for myself, okay, great. But I'm also not going to try to bombard in there waving my American money and culture around, like, hey, Puerto
Right.
Ricans, I'm here to
Oh,
save you, because that's
I was
also
gonna
not
say
legal
that too.
either.
And I mean, it's the
Like,
same even if, like, for me, whether I grew up there or not, like, not everybody wants saving. Or people, you know, I'm not a superhero. Like that part too. Like, you know, like I don't even want to like take it down or even frame it to be that way. But it's more of just like serving as an example to someone who may be having feelings of like, I can't make it here. And it's like, well, actually, you can. Like, you know, like even just like your mom, like, you can't just go do that. And it's like, well, actually, like these three, like, you know, having a reference, like three other people have done it that I know. And like, I see myself in them, you know, that's where I feel like I can do this. And just that little bit of hope can change so many things. Like, it'd be like, oh, like, it worked for her, so clearly it, you know, something could work for me. But if it's not something that someone wants, then I'm not gonna, you know, knock on your door with it. Like, hello, this is what you need to be doing. You need to go live in the hills. And it's like, no, absolutely not. But I do think that there are some people like who do take that on, or we see people like, just, you know, there's certain types of activism and whatnot and so forth where it's like a that's like, what is it? Isn't that what we Americans did? Or Christopher Columbus, he just came and was like, here, this is the right way, do this. Colonialism, we're not trying to colonize nobody.
There we go.
Heavens no. It's just a
Heavens
matter of like
no.
being more in tune about with what's going on, and like for myself too, like what's possible for me. Like, that's really the motivation. Like, as this Caribbean derivative of a human being, like who am I, like where I'm coming from, what is that about, and what is it leading to, like what is this, and like what can I do with this, you know?
I love that. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, the example part, because a large reason that I even started this whole podcast was to, like, kind of be that, not a representative even, but just a reference point for people to say, hey, you know, here are some things that actually are possible. And I know, you know, I've had that issue with just in life for myself of not even considering all of the possible options for any one event, and then seeing somebody either do it with a twist or remix, you know, an existing thing. And I
Look
was like,
at
oh, okay. So imagine now what else we can do. And so I like that you brought that up, because that's kind of
Right.
the whole reason we're here. So that's really good. And so I guess now my final question to you would be, how does it feel to just kind of be doing the things that you want to do, or you're on the path to doing the things that you want to do, in the same vein that, you know, you said talking to, like, your aunt and or your grandfather, whomever, you know, they had a whole life, and they still do have a whole life, of experiences that, you know, you don't know about. And you know, as generations continue to arise, you know, people are doing things that some folks used to simply dream of, or some people could never have dreamed of. And so how do you feel, you know, you're doing that for yourself? Some people before you may have only dreamed of doing it, or never thought that it was possible, and now you are, that's what your life is. So
Well, I'm super
what does that feel like
grateful.
to you?
I'm very, very grateful. I know my life is d different. It's different than a lot, you know, whether it's my generationally different or just different from my peers, like it's different. And I'm grateful that it's mine. Like it's something that I chose. A lot of the decisions here are like ones of my own creation. And I love that I have that freedom. Like this is, you know, those shirts that are like, I'm my ancestors' wildest dreams. Like this is that. Like, you know, at one point in life, the people who were before me did not have choices. Much like, you know, way less choices than I have. So I am super grateful for all of that. Like gratitude is a must, in the words of Coffee. I yes. also feel very I feel the responsibility that comes with that. I like I said, with that like first gen thing, like it's like even my mom couldn't make certain choices out of survival, like out of necessity, like some things she just had to do. Or my dad, even my grandpa when he was alive, he told me that he did not want to join the army, but I think it was Vietnam, that they were like knocking on the door and were like, he was drafted, like you have to join. He said he cried the whole trip. He was just like, I don't want to join the military. I want to be an educator. I want to be a principal. You know, I just want to teach some kids. I do not want to go to the military. That is not happening to me. Or, you know, it's not happening right now. I don't know what the fuck Trump got in store for us, but it's not happening right now. And I can't even imagine something like that happening right now. And that was because of the things that my grandparents, my parents made sure wasn't a thing. And I can only be grateful for that. And it's also my responsibility to use it wisely. You know, this is a lot of power. Like it's having choices, having freedom, having, you know, agency is power. And I, for one, don't want to waste it. You know, I don't want to just not follow my dreams or not do the things that make me like scream or make me happy, make me like jump for joy, like fill me with light. Because I know that by me feeding into my creativity, just even this call, the fact that this is the topic, like it's on Haitian Flag Day. Like I just got off the phone with my ex-boyfriend about moving home. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he's just like, do what your heart wants. You know, I'm like having these conversations all week with different people trying to suss this out. It's like this, you doing this podcast, you feeding into your magic, and me feeding into mine as far as producing Adultin and writing that episode. Like I wrote that shit at like 12 in the morning one day. And I remember when I edited it, it was like, I was just so ready to see it. Like I edited it a whole rough cut in one day. And if anybody knows anything about editing, it takes a second. So I was just like, I want to see this story so bad. And I did like, I think I started the edit like the day after the shoot. Like I was at Malik's house, my co-creator, who we now live together, but at the time we didn't. And I was at her house and we were like looking at the footage and I'm putting together like something on the sequence. And that's God. Like that's me giving in to like my creative essence, nature, flow, calling, passion, whatever you want to call it. Like higher power, the universe, the breadcrumbs. I was picking them up one by one. And I'm like, this is what I need to be doing. I don't know why, but this is what I need to be doing. And it's a responsibility to do it because there were people before us who did not have a chance. And there are people today who still don't have that chance. Or there are people who need you to do it to understand that they can do it too. Because there aren't that many examples of Black people or Black women or Black Caribbean women really being the face of movements, of, you know, like of stories. It's like there's far and few, or like, you know, you might know someone for a very specific reason, but for there being like a surplus, like the way we can think of who owns XYZ company and it's all white men that come to mind, like I'd love to just think about who owns majority of the businesses in the Caribbean, and like just Black women come to mind, you know, something like that. Like the representation of the Caribbean is so like, whew, there's work to be done, honey. It's just like, there are so many doors to step down, and you know, who would we be to not take on this responsibility? Like it's right there. It's hard, and it's not as easy as it is for other folks, but it's still, it can be done. And I think that not doing it is disrespectful. It's disrespectful. Like, it is. Like, it is honestly disrespectful to your mama. Childish. It's disrespectful to your ancestors. It's disrespectful to God. It's just like, you have these talents, you have this calling, you have this passion, you have whatever you got, like, you have to do it. Why not? Because I just, like, you end up in the ocean again, you know? Like, the only way to just to get onto a new current is to get a new passion, like something that's funneling you and, like, moving you along. So that's my tea.
No, that's beautiful. You wrapped it up in the more perfect, there wasn't a more perfect way to do it. And I'm super grateful that you said the words that you said and you meant the words that you said. And ultimately, I think, you know, we do have that responsibility in that sense to kind of, at the end of the day, follow our hearts, you know? And I think, if I may put my two cents in, the fact that, you know, you've been having this conversation about what to do next with so many people. Like, I kind of feel like there's a common theme in a lot of the answers you've been getting, perhaps. So I feel like St. Croix might be seeing you pretty soon. And I love that for you. But I also love, you know, if you still, you know, stay in New York and do your thing, whatever the case is. But, you know, I love whatever answer is Kayra 100% like following her heart and doing what makes the most sense for her to do right now in the immediate future.
The response really is, you need to sit with yourself and figure this shit out. That's the common answer.
Yes.
Like, girl, we cannot tell you. I think my friends are sick of my shit. Like, all these years of trying to tell me what to do and me doing the whole opposite, everybody's tired. They're like, we just gonna let you make the decision.
And that's what friends are for, because sometimes you just need to bounce that information off of people and just kind of get the vibe. But ultimately, people are going to say what they're going to say, but you're going to know what the answer is.
We all will. And, you know, that's all it takes. Sitting with yourself, defining those core parts about yourself that is driving your decision-making and allowing it to make those decisions.
Yes. Oh. Beautiful. And I mean, what better time to do that than a global pandemic?
We don't know what's happening. I was telling Malik, I was like, wait, you know, it just feels like there's like a curtain up, like over a window. Like, I know there's a window here, and I know there are like things coming next, but or that there's something on the other side. I just can't see it. Like, every day is like a veil that is just slowly being lifted. And I'm like, whew. At least when it wasn't a pandemic, you sort of like knew what was going on. You're like, you know, I have this photo shoot this day, I have graduation, I have da 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 da. Pandemic was like, nope. We don't know what you got. We actually don't.
Actually, you don't.
I honestly, I couldn't have been happier. I was like, wow, there were so many things that I was just like, you know what, Kayra, I needed to be home. Like, I needed to be in my house, like happy hours, all these different things. I'm like, look at all this. My liver is thanking me. Putting 10 years on my life, this pandemic. I don't even know.
That's good.
Silver lining somewhere.
You gotta find the silver lining somewhere.
I'm not drinking as much. My liver is gonna hold on a little longer, thank God.
You don't gotta spend $15 on drinks, because that's the New York price.
Even a happy hour. Like, what ridiculous happy hour is that? Like, who's happy? Listen.
Not me. Well, Kayra, thank you so much for joining me for this episode, this wonderful conversation. I personally feel invigorated to really get the rest of my week together. It's a busy week for me. And so I loved this very Black Girl Magic conversation, and just so much insight on your end. And I like having good conversations with people, and I feel like this was a really good conversation. Work.
I feel like this has been my Saturday Night Live moment. I'm just like, I've been trying to get on the show forever. Thanks.
Oh my gosh. Well, you are always welcome. That's, a given. And thank you again. I don't know if I let everyone know, this is the first phone call thing I've did with this podcast. Usually my guests are with me. So this is the first time I've done a remote
I think
hosting
it's
situation,
beautiful.
and I think it went pretty
This is
well.
revolutionary. I like this.
Right?
The future is now. We are
The future is
here.
now.
Afrofuturism. Oh, I just said that all the way wrong. Afrofuturism. It's now. It's today. It's this current moment. Because I'm like, this is nuts. Like, I'm just holding my phone and we just recorded a podcast. It's great. That's it. No studio, no studio
Like, that's it.
space, none of
That's
that.
it. It's simple, it's easy, and it's done. And I love it. So thank you so much for being here again. My listeners, wherever you're listening from, if I've got any Caribbean listeners, hopefully you tune in for this episode. But please check out Adultin web series, the episode The Pot Called the Kettle, as well as the entire rest of season one, scripted and unscripted. Stay
Season
tuned.
two
I
is
know season
pending,
two is pending.
but
Miss Rona's definitely did what she did, but that's
absolutely.
it'll come. It'll come when it's supposed to come. That might be. And yeah, that's all I've got right now.
No, I just
Kayra,
want
do
to
you
say
have
thank you
anything
for
you want to
having
tell the
me.
people?
Thank you guys for listening. If you made it to the end of the podcast, thank you for staying for the whole thing. I hope that this was insightful. I hope this was helpful. And continue to follow your dreams, y'all. That's all you got to do in this life. Follow the breadcrumbs.
That's perfect. All righty. Well, Kayra, I'm going to let you go, and maybe I'll come back to
You have
sign
that
people off.
choice.
I'm not
You
sure
have that
yet. I'll make a
agency.
decision, but right. Oh, I love
All
that.
right. Later, Z. I
Okay.
love you so
All
much.
righty. Bye.
So I just want to say thank you again to Ms. Kayra J for joining me on this final episode of Catch Some Z's. I want to apologize for some of the technical difficulties. We had to make do with the pandemic, so there might be some delay. Some of the audio might be off. I'm not at a place right now where I can fix those types of issues, so you're just gonna have to bear with me, which is what you've been doing this whole entire time, and I love you for it. Yes, and as I've mentioned, this is the season finale, so new episodes will resume if my schedule allows, or not if my schedule allows, but if everything goes according to the plan I have, we should get back to new episodes around August. But in the meantime, that does not mean that you're not going to be hearing from me. I've got some things that I'm working on now that I've got this kind of this month off, proverbially. So you will be getting new updates and new information on some new things, new projects. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you are following the Instagram at catch some Z's underscore. Make sure you're following the Twitter account at catch some Z's. And there will be more for you to engage with, follow, and all those good things soon within the coming weeks. Again, I'm not going to make any announcements because, real G's move in silence like lasagna. But just please stay tuned. Thank you to everyone who has tuned in for this season as we've kind of rebranded and I'm just spending a lot of time getting things on track. And thank you to everyone who has participated in, the little surveys that I've sent out, who have sent their feedback, who've sent messages of love, support, all those things. So, thank you so much, guys. This is it for now. Again, new episodes will resume in August. Everything will become clear when it's supposed to be. So just please, like I said, stay tuned, stay engaged. Enjoy your summer if you're listening to this and you're about to, embark on your quote unquote summer vacation, even though we don't really know what that looks like right now. That's what I'm doing. Enjoy your summer, enjoy your time, get some rest. Remember to extend grace to yourself. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I really appreciate you. Thank you. Bye.